This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries welcoming you to this week's Truth Provided broadcast, a remnant awareness program dedicated to revealing prophetic fulfillments of Antichrist as they are realized in historic as well as current events. Each week, I hope to illustrate the importance of investigating prophecy as it pertains not only to historic events but current events as well. On my site at www.remnantofgod.org, I have over 2,700 pages of facts exposing all that Antichrist would hope to hide from you and your loved ones in these last days. And most of this information is directly identifying that which comes from the Vatican is that which the prophecy states is of Antichrist. Now, please understand, I am not called to attack the Catholic people. Prophecy directly identifies the popes of Roman Catholicism as Antichrist and not the individual Catholics therein. There are many sincere children of the Almighty Creator in all churches, including the Church of Rome. The prophecies are merely a collection of judgments, corrections, and revelations exposing this massive anti-Christian organization, which has openly embraced paganism. Of course, there are many prophecies and scriptures that point out errors, demonic doctrines, traditions of men, etc., in all religions, Christian and non-Christian alike. The fact of the matter remains that the elect of the Lord, no matter what church they are standing in at this time, will always accept correction from their Heavenly Father and do as Revelation 18 verses 1 to 5 declares. They will come out of these churches. They will not turn a deaf ear, a blind eye, or a cold heart to the truth provided in His holy word when it comes and is made known unto them. It is for these children, the past, present, and future members of the remnant of God, that I proclaim this three angels' message of Revelation. If you have any questions or comments you feel you would be blessing others with, please feel free to call me during the last half of the show at 1-800-858-6582. For anyone that calls the show, if you give us your name and address, I will send you information about the beast and his mark, along with information on how to receive some free books regarding Antichrist and his modern-day desires, as well as a free Bible course on prophecy in the package as well. Now, if you're listening to this broadcast online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com using dial-up and do not have access to a second phone line, at this time I invite you to join me on the website at remnantofgod.org. Once there, click the silver microphone on the main page and follow the prompts to the public room in the POGM audio chat section of the website. You can text any comments or suggestions or questions you have during the show live. Now, I would like to start right off by sharing this article I received back in 1994. Now, I know it's been a while, but I feel it bears repeating. Headline, Vatican condemns literal interpretation of the Bible. This is from Vatican City, Italy. The Vatican criticized a literal interpretation of the Bible and said the fundamentalist approach to Scripture was a kind of intellectual suicide. A Vatican document said, fundamentalism refuses to admit that the inspired Word of God has been expressed in human language by human authors possessed of limited capacities and resources. The 125-page document, The Interpretation of the Bible in the Church, was written by the Pontifical Biblical Commission, a group of scholars who assist the Pope in the study of Scripture. It noted that a fundamentalist interpretation of the Bible has been gaining strength. The Vatican is increasingly concerned about the number of Catholics, especially in Latin America, who have abandoned the Church for fast-growing fundamentalist sects. The fundamentalist approach is dangerous, for it is attractive to people who look to the Bible for ready answers to the problem of life, the document said. Fundamentalism actually invites people to a kind of intellectual suicide. A fundamentalist interpretation of the Bible began during the Reformation, when Protestants showing an increasing concern for fidelity to the literal meaning of Scripture. The document said fundamentalism refused to admit that there was a human element in the transmission of the Word of God. One member of the commission, Jesuit Father Joseph Fitzmyer, said fundamentalists failed to recognize that several years elapsed between the time Jesus spoke and the time when the Gospels were written. There was no stenographer, no one with a tape recorder, on that time, said Fitzmyer. Now, without getting into too much detail, I would like to bring to your attention two comments made by the Vatican in this article. Comment number one. The fundamentalist approach is dangerous, for it is attractive to people who look to the Bible for ready answers to the problems of life. Now, here we see the Pope and his media expert stating to all the world at large that to look onto the admitted inspired Word of God as a source for answers to the many problems of life is dangerous. Why do you suppose this leader of the Catholic faith figures that looking into the writings of his Creator as words that cannot comfort, help, calm, give love, peace, or spiritual relaxation? Why is it that this pope and all the popes look onto the Word of God that has blessed literally billions since its inspiration as something that's worthy of our embrace? The Almighty who penned those very words states plainly in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, I recall many years ago when I was lost, I too saw the Bible as a book of, you know, I simply couldn't grasp, a book unworthy of my attention, a book that was impossible to believe, let alone understand. You know, but then one day I heard the still small voice of Jesus, my Savior. One day his word opened unto me, and I realized that, yes, there is a God, and he is capable of writing a book that his own children can understand. It was a bona fide miracle. What once was a pack of unintelligible words is now a source of peace and hope that goes beyond even the words that he placed inside it that describe decent hope. Only those influenced by Antichrist himself would preach that the word of a creator God is dangerous for those of us that appear within it without the translations of Rome. You know, such a bold and blasphemous stance is one that states the word of God, penned by the Holy Spirit, are words that he himself was unable to place upon the page for all mankind to understand. Where does the Vatican supposedly seek refuge? Within its tradition, perhaps. Well, the decree set forth in 1545 AD by the Council of Trent states that the doctrine withholds and declares that tradition is of equal authority with the Bible. Well, it appears, yes, the Vatican would have us grasp tradition as infallible. And why do you suppose that is? Well, because the doctrines of Rome itself are, in fact, mostly made up of traditions of men. Just like the prophecy stated in the last days, it'll be, you know, doctrines of demons and traditions of men. They seek to draw you away from Christ, just as prophecy stated. For it is written in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, they know that if you look into the pages of the Bible, you will find that the Church of Rome truly is not a Church of Christ. This is why the Council of Valencia in 1229 AD put the Bible on the Index of Forbidden Books. If you were caught with a Bible, you had to give it up to be burned, or you would be burned in its place. Were you aware that in the Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine, it's written by Reverend Peter Geierman, CSSR, which has 112 pages, it's a little booklet that they give out if you are considering Catholicism as a faith. It's got 112 pages, and on those 112 pages are 448 questions regarding Catholic doctrine, like why do we believe this or why do we believe that. The book is used to explain completely every little aspect of Catholicism. As a matter of fact, I used to teach from a book similar to this. I was a CCD teacher for the church, or a teacher of Catholics, Catechism Doctrine, CCD. Now, out of the 448 questions in this book of Catholic doctrine, there were 776 answers due to the fact that many of the questions are going to have multiple answers. You know, some have as many as 17 answers to a single question. For example, the question, what were the apostles' names, would result in 13 separate answers because, you know, we know there were 13 apostles because one of them, Judas, committed suicide and caused the original number of 12 to drop to 11, so they had to replace him with Matthias. So, out of all these questions regarding Catholic doctrine, all 448 questions with their 776 answers, they only used 56 Bible verses to explain Roman Catholic faith. And more than 75% of those Bible verses were taken completely out of context. But let's give the Vatican the benefit of the doubt here for a moment and assume that all 56 verses were totally in context for the sake of illustration. That would mean 56 Bible verses used for 776 answers actually equates to 13.8% of the questions having Bible verses to explain it. In other words, that means 86.2% of the answers that explain the Catholic faith are not found in the Bible. Now, how can they claim that this is the Church of Christ declared was built on the faith of Peter? Matthew 16:18 says, and I say unto thee also, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This single verse proves the Catholic Church is not of Jesus. Historic fact is the gates of hell have prevailed against this church from the beginning and will do so all the way until its soon demise. And I hope to be able to prove that to you beyond a shadow of a doubt over the course of time as I do these truth-provided broadcasts. For those of you that want to jump ahead in investigating all aspects of these prophecies before I get into them on the broadcast, feel free to stop by the website, remnantofgod.org. There are presently over 2,700 pages of facts on there, so you'll be busy for a while. Rome seeks to control mankind by placing holy laws upon them geared to pull at their spiritual hearts. They attempt this by using laws that are not found in Scripture. And as history has always proven, mankind will always be more apt to do that which he thinks is of God over and above that which he thinks is of man. Just by looking around at some of the terrorist attacks proves this. You can convince a man to commit suicide for his God. So, the government of Rome counterfeits the holiness of God. It appears the Church of Rome seeks to stand as one equal to God himself. And I can prove it. I mean, is this not something revealed in the very words of the Creator as something that has occurred in the past as well? Is this not the desires of one that was a resident of heaven in times past? He is called Antichrist today. And some of the people that he moves around are considered puppets of him. Look and see for yourself as to who holds the desire to inhabit the throne of a mighty Creator. Look in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Yes, there is a God in the Vatican, a little g God. It's not a capital G. It is a lesser God that is seeking the souls of loved ones for purposes other than what they were created for, to burn. The word is clear that the Lord would not want us to die, any of us. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is Satan capable of speaking through a man he controls? Is Satan capable of shouting blasphemous proclamations through a human that a man is God on earth? Because this is one of the prophetic facts of Antichrist. He will blaspheme. Is this God in the Vatican totally in control of men that stand there season after season and lifetime after lifetime? Can this God in the Vatican speak such hellish and blasphemous lies as John chapter 10, verse 33 speaks of? Count on it. The popes of the Vatican, in unison with Antichrist, have been preaching error for centuries. And to top it off, they have documented their blasphemous dogma for any and all who care to research it. One definition of blasphemy is found in John chapter 10, verse 33. It says, "The Jews answered him, saying, For a good word we've stoned thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." The Pharisees, you know, they were ready to stone Jesus because as a man, he claimed to be equal with the Father in heaven. For any man to say that, it is indeed blasphemy. However, it wasn't blasphemy for Christ because he is who he says he is. The following quotes I'm about to share with you are taken from actual Catholic documents of the Vatican. You tell me, is this blasphemy? And if so, are you also aware that Revelation says Antichrist will be blasphemous? If not, you better study up Revelation chapter 13 when you get time. Again, these are the actual documented Vatican quotes. This first one, now some of the titles are kind of hard for me to pronounce because they're Latin. You got Corpus Juris, chapter 1, column 29, translated from a gloss on the words of Porus Subesi Romano Pontiff. It says, "Christ entrusted his office to the chief pontiff." That's another name for the Pope. "But all power in heaven and earth have been given to Christ. Therefore, the chief pontiff, who is his vicar, will have this power." Pope Leo the 13th, in his encyclical letter of June 20th, 1894, said, "We hold upon this earth the place of God Almighty." Writers on canon law say that the Pope and God are the same, so he has all power in heaven and earth. That's out of Barclay's captions on caption 27, page 218. Listen to this one. This is from Bellarmine's On the Authority of the Councils, book 2, chapter 17. And by the way, you can get all this off the site. All of the time. You can research it, triple, double, whatever you want. You'll find this everywhere. "All the names which are attributed to Christ in Scripture, implying his supremacy over the Church, are also attributed to the Pope." Now, this next one I'm going to read. This is from Labatt and Cosart's History of the Councils, volume 15, column 109. But before I read this, remember the titles, Christian. Remember the titles that you have read in your Christian Bible for Jesus. And listen to the titles they give the Pope now. Okay? It says, now they're talking to the Pope, they go, "For thou art the shepherd, thou art the physician, thou art the director, thou art the husbandman. Finally, thou art another God on earth." And they capitalize God. The title, Lord God the Pope, can be found within a gloss of Extravagantes of Pope John XXII, Title 14, Chapter 4. In an Antwerp edition of the Extravagantes, the same title, Our Lord God the Pope, can be found in Column 153. And in the Paris edition, they're in Column 140. In the Pacta Bibliotheca Pharisees, Volume 6, page 26, under the article of Papa, it says, hence the Pope is crowned with a triple crown, as King of Heaven and Earth and Purgatory. Purgatory, by the way, is a pagan belief. There is no such thing in Scripture. And the last one I have here is Roman Catholic canon law stipulates through Pope Innocent III that the Roman Pontiff is the Vicegerent upon earth, not a mere man, but of a very God. Now, of course, I have dozens more quotes that are even more shocking than this on my Words of a Beast page on the website at www.remnantofgod.org, but I'm sure you get the point. Plus, were you also aware of the other definition of blasphemy? It's found in Mark chapter 2, verse 7. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? You know, the Pharisees, again, had no clue who Jesus was and figured he was just a man. And, of course, it is blasphemy for a mere man to think he can forgive the sins men have committed against their God. Now, step into any Roman Catholic church. What do you see? Confessionals. That's right. The priests of Rome believe they have the power to forgive your sins that you have committed against your God. That is defined in Scripture as blasphemy. The amazing thing here is, all this is documented for all the world to see, and still there are present. I just found the totals just 3 days ago, 1.07 billion Catholics. They're unaware of these quotes, people. And mostly because they are taught not to question their leaders. It's up to you and I to tell them. Tell your loved ones of this Antichrist standing as a sheep in wolf's clothing. Tell them that there is absolute biblical evidence of his existence as prophecy so accurately describes it. Tell them this is why their church frowns on the parishioners bringing Bibles to church. This is why they print up little mass booklets for them called missalettes for them to use during the mass. I remember I was Catholic 29 years. Now, I'm convinced that most Catholics are unaware that their popes believe he is a god. They will literally laugh in your face when you tell them this. When I was a Catholic, I laughed every time someone tried to show me that stuff. But before long, I was led to investigate it. Please notice that these are not fly-by-night quotes that I shared from the Hollywood tabloids either. These quotes that I just shared with you are actual authenticated Vatican documents. Now, for a man to stand before all the world proclaiming that he himself is God on earth is utter and graphic evidence that Lucifer, now fallen and named Satan, has embodied the souls of those that stand as Pope, as well as those that would further his work as Antichrist. Is it no wonder they seek the Word of God and to be burned or declare it openly in 1994 that it is dangerous? The reason they do so is because it exposes them and their God with childlike ease. And to them, that is indeed dangerous to their cause. So they belittle and they speak against the Word of God so as to steer you away from it. But even if the enemy was successful in closing all the eyes of the people, he cannot shut up the mouths of those sent by Jesus. Fact is, people, those of us that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus are something Rome fears greatly. Why? Well, of course, number one, as Revelation 12, verse 17 declares, we are the ones that keep the commandments of God. That scripturally proves that Satan lied about what was going on at the abolishment of Calvary. It was the commandments contained in ordinances that were abolished at Calvary. You no longer have to kill a lamb as an offering for sin because the Lamb of God had taken away the sins of God, he's hanging on the cross right there. So that's why the temple veil ripped. Those commandments contained in ordinances were abolished. Study up Revelation chapter 14 and find out who does not get the mark of the beast and why. Look at verse 12 specifically. Those that keep the commandments and have the testimony or have the faith of Jesus. Now, what is the testimony? Because that's something that the dragon in Revelation 12 greatly fears, because we keep the commandments and also have the testimony of Jesus. But what is that? I'm not going to give you my opinion, nor am I going to give you my interpretation. Just go to Revelation 19:10. That's the only way that you should understand prophetic symbolism is to go back in the Bible. Let it explain itself. The angel actually tells John during the vision that the testimony of Jesus Christ is defined as the spirit of prophecy. So how is that dangerous to the Vatican or the dragon or the devil himself? Well, we are told in advance what the devil's up to in the Word of God. And then we share it with all those that have ears to hear it. Then when the devil talks to the Vatican into doing these things and these evils because they are blinded, they cannot see the prophetic facts because they have not the testimony that prove the prophecy authentic that we share, and the Lord God is glorified. And the devil stands easily exposed. That's why they call the scriptures dangerous. if you stay in the Bible, you will eventually come out of the Roman Church. This is why in 1229 A.D. at the Council of Valencia, they put the Bible on the index of forbidden books. If Rome caught you with a Bible, you had to either give it up so that it can be burned, or you're going to get burned in its place. Because they knew if you started sharing what you found in that book, people would eventually leave the church. Now, on to comment number two that they made in the article, where Jesuit Father Joseph Fitzmyer, he said, fundamentalists failed to recognize that several years elapsed between the time Jesus spoke and the time when the Gospels were written. He actually went so far as to say, there was no stenographer, no one with a tape recorder on that time. You know, modern technology has now blessed this Jesuit with a way to belittle the Creator that allowed the knowledge to increase, especially in these last days, according to Daniel chapter 12's prophecy. I mean, it was supposed to happen. He belittled the Almighty by stating that men were without tape recorders and stenographers that he deems as necessary to get every utterance of our Lord and his apostles recorded. This Jesuit is openly stating that God himself messed up. The Almighty Creator picked the wrong time to have his son Jesus visit us, preach unto us, die for us, and resurrect for us. This faithless Jesuit preaches it should have been at a time when man's technology would have been more apt to record all that the Creator would speak. To such arrogance, such graphic lack of faith in the Holy Spirit is evident here. Can you see this? He is actually saying plainly that the Holy Spirit is incapable of bringing to remembrance all that was spoken in those days. Well, in pun intended, one verse does come to mind. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus is stating fact here. I've seen this happen. I remember one time that, it was like years ago in the Chicago area, I was doing some street preaching. I ran across this kid. I was only in my 30s at the time, and he was like maybe, late teens or early 20s. Big kid, too. And I remember he come walking up to me, and I knew he was a Catholic, and he even told me he was a Catholic. And I said, we got on the subject somehow of Mary and how she gave birth to more children than just Jesus Christ. And he had a real problem with that. He says, well, okay, wait a second. Let me go out to my van and get this list of scriptures. And the reason I had that in the van, and it's not on the website now, it's called the FAQ page, the Frequently Asked Questions. Well, some of them are frequently screened questions that I receive on the street. And what I used to do is, like, people would ask me questions, and I would have a bunch of Bible verses to answer them. You know? But my memory is useless, just like any man's. No one can remember everything. And that's where I rely on John 14:26. And so I go, okay, wait a second. Let me go out to the van and get this list of questions that I have written down just for such an occasion. And he goes, no, don't thank you. I don't need any of your Catholic bashing, anti-topic, whatever. I don't need it. And he pulls this little Gideon Bible out of his pocket. This actually happened. He pulls this little Gideon Bible out of his pocket. And he goes, show me in here. You show me in this Bible where it says that Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where it was. I had no clue where it was. So I said a quick prayer. I said, Father God, this guy's pretty adamant about wanting to see this. Quick prayer. And I just, you hear the still small voice. No, I'm not hearing voices. I just, you just know. I hear, in my mind, go to Matthew chapter 13. Or rather, go to Matthew chapter 14. And I do. And then I hear the voice an impression in my mind. Okay, look up. The last two verses speaks of his sisters and even names Jesus Christ's brothers. And he grabs the Bible and pulls it away and starts walking away in a huff. And before I can tell him, hey, a miracle just happened here, he was gone. That was the first time I actually saw it happen. I had no clue where the verses were. But yet, the Lord showed me where they were so I could show them to him. John 14:26, Jesus was stating fact. For Jesus spoke for a little over 3 years of all the truth we need. Not to mention all the truth that was spoken in the Old Testament. And knowing that we have a limited brain, he blesses us with the Holy Spirit that brings all things to our remembrance whatsoever he has said unto us. Again, the Vatican is stating that Jesus has lied. For the Vatican is saying that the men the Holy Spirit was inspiring were not capable of remembering what Jesus himself said they would remember in the first place. Strange, isn't it? You want to see something that's equally strange in the same article by the Vatican? Notice this. They stated in the article that the inspired Word of God has been expressed in human language by human authors possessed of limited capacities and resources. Did you catch that? They call the Word of God inspired. They are stating, in confusion, I might add, that the inspired word of the Creator is not going to be written or recorded properly because the human beings he created were incapable or were created incapable of doing as he created them to do in the first place. These men were ordained to do this work, were they not? But this Jesuit priest says God couldn't create them to do it. So you needed the tape recorders or the stenographers or a video camera or whatever. Plus, this Jesuit states they also had limited resources. Do you know what the Roman Church is going for here? They are looking to convince us, in the turn of the century, no doubt, with all our bells and whistles and creature comforts, that those folks in the time of the Bible, when it was penned, were without the creature comforts, the computers, the tape recorders, the TVs, the airplanes, the cameras, the cars, the laser beams, nuclear fusion, open-heart surgery, World Wide Web, satellites, space shuttles, cars, radios, scanners, printers. I mean, let's just go on and on and on. They didn't have those things that we now see as absolute necessities. The Vatican is shouting very boldly to all that will listen, God, you messed up. You should have arrived in our day. We would have been a lot better able to prove you were who you say you are. After the break, I have a few more facts I'd like to share with you. The phones will be open, 1-800-858-6582. Questions or comments, feel free to call the FirstAmendmentRadio.com radio station at 1-800-858-6582. If you are using dial-up and you're at the FirstAmendmentRadio.com website or you're on the audio chat room and you have some comments, you can, or if you're not at the audio chat room, just go to remnantofgod.org and click the silver microphone and surf to the follow the prompts to the public chat room, and then you could text your questions there easy enough and live. So, anyway, getting back to what we were discussing just before the break is in regards to the Jesuit that was stating that the people that were inspired by the Holy Spirit had limited resources. They didn't have the creature comforts that we have today, like the tape recorders, the stenographers, or the video cameras, or whatever. Okay. We have, the thing is, with all this technology, they're stating that the Father messed up. He should have had Jesus come in our day. Well, guess what, folks? Matthew chapter 7, verses 26 and 27 says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand." That's important. The Vatican is shouting in thunderous tones that we must put faith in ourselves and our inventions over and above all that is God Almighty. We must place our faith in our ability to prove what it is we see. We must put faith in our technology. The Pope, as he drives around in his bulletproof Pope-mobile, stands as a bold icon shouting unto all that God cannot save him now. Only the technology of mankind can save him. He is actually shouting that only the technology of man can save mankind. Only the technology of man can help man with all the problems of everyday life. Not your Bibles. That's dangerous. The Bibles are dangerous, but the technology, that'll take care of things. He also stated that it's dangerous to trust the word for peace. Only the technology of man can give you inner peace. The Vatican is preaching that you and I cannot know for sure that Jesus said that he said simply because, or what he said simply because our technology was not available at that time to prove what he said. And he is proclaiming that there was a possibility that the Holy Spirit messed up when he picked certain men to pen the words that the Lord created them to pen. He is stating the Creator did not have the necessary tape recorders and stenographers needed to make sure his holy words were recorded accurately. We do have a caller on the line, but just give me a minute here, Bonnie. We have Bonnie from Florida calling. Just give me a minute or two. I wanted to cover this one last point. The Pope is also shouting loud regarding that we must all build our houses upon the technology of man and man alone. Trust only what your technology can authenticate. Well, guess what, folks? It works. This message of hell is working upon every heart that allows it to on planet Earth. Across the globe, we see almost every man, woman, and child relying on their technology to handle their problems in life. Almost everyone trusts the inventions of medicine and computers over and above the Almighty and His miracles. You know, when was the last time you heard someone going first to the Lord in a sticky situation? Why is it always the praying begins after they see we, mankind, cannot fix the problem? Is He only a God of foxholes or hopeless cases that we worship? Is He only present when we are up against the wall? The devil has been very busy indeed. He has taught literally billions to embrace only what the computer chips embedded within man's technology can verify, authenticate, or reveal. Well, do you realize what computer chips are made out of, my friends? Silicon. And do you know what silicon actually is, or its base element? That's right. Sand. The people are asking us to build our houses upon sand. Now I ask you, can you see the resemblance between the hearts and minds that trusted the Tower of Babel and the hearts and minds that trust today's technology? The Word of God revealed the Tower of Babel was their tower of technology. They trusted it to prevent them from another flood. They didn't trust the Lord. They just, you know, that thing was built to certain specifications that would be higher than the actual water was. In fact, it stopped cold in its tracks, though, didn't it? Is our tower of technology about to stop cold in its tracks? Only time will tell. The phone lines are open. If you want to call in, feel free to do so. 1-800-858-6582, firstamendmentradio.com. Go to the website, listen in over there, or www.reverendtogod.org. Bonnie from Florida, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. God bless you.
Doing real good. Glad to hear you, literally. We had a little difficulty here hearing people earlier, but what's your question? I can hear you a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say God bless you, and there is no private interpretation of the Bible. There's only one truth, and that's the truth from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And what is impossible for man is not impossible for God.
Exactly.
And keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you, sister. Thank you so much. Well, praise the Lord. That is so true. I mean, like Bonnie just said, I mean, there is only one God, of course. And it states in 2 Peter that no prophecies of any private interpretation. We cannot tell anybody what our opinions is or are regarding what the Word of God states. This is one of the easiest ways to, you know, to find a true prophet, you know, or a false prophet, rather. I'm not saying go out looking for true prophets. It's easy to expose the false ones, though, because, well, if they come up to you saying fig tree, for example, means a tree, you know, the Bible says fig tree means Israel, or oil means Holy Spirit. Or, like we just heard earlier, the testimony of Jesus Christ actually means the spirit of prophecy. So, I got a few more quotes from the leaders within the Catholic Church in regards to their feelings towards the Word of God. I share this in the hopes that it enriches the seeking hearts that are still trapped within the grasp of Rome. I pray that those of the elect still within the Church investigate and verify all that I share here as well as on the ministry website at remnantofgod.org. Now, in the Roman Catholic publication, now keep in mind, there's a reason the Bible is considered dangerous to the Vatican. If you go into the Bible, this is what got me out. When I was Catholic, and before I left the church, I was a Eucharistic minister. That means I stood up in front of the church next to the priest, and I handed out the host, and I said, Body of Christ, and if they didn't say amen, they weren't getting it. And I handed out the wine, and it was real wine, which is actually a corrupted communion. You see, unleavened bread is unleavened because the leaven represents sin. So it's unleavened, that communion. And the wine means either grape juice, fermented or unfermented, in Scripture for the same word, wine. But it has to have been unfermented at the Last Supper. Main reason being, if it was fermented, fermentation represents sin. Christ would never have us communicate or be in communion with Him as in sin. He went to the cross, perfect. There was no sin. And I used to hand out this wine in the Catholic Church, and it was real. And we have another caller. Well, let me finish this quote here, but it's from the question box on page 66. It says, the Bible does not pretend to be a formulary of belief, as in creed or catechism. There is nowhere in the New Testament a clear, methodical statement of the teaching of Christ. Yet my Bible says that it does have all the necessary things listed which Jesus did. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given the commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So, I got a few more quotes here, too, but I got Dar from Michigan on the line. How you doing, Dar?
Fine. I just wanted to say that you said you was in the church for 29 years, and you started investigating.
I cannot hear you.
For yourself, truths that they're not teaching. And, you know, Luther did that. Can you hear me?
You're going to have to speak up, Dar.
And I said Martin Luther did that also. He investigated and started the Reformation. And one thing that I've also noticed is that Catholic people don't seem to mention Christ and talk about religion very much. So, you know, it's kind of odd that people just aren't realizing what's going on. And it's not only in that church either today. But I just wanted to take and state that, and I think you're doing a great job, and, you know, you're getting information out that people really need to know. And I thank you.
Well, thank you, Dar. Thank you very much. Yes, I know most of them don't know about this, and that's what I was explaining earlier, is that if a lot of the Catholic people, that's why I gear my ministry mostly towards evangelizing Catholics, is to let them know information that they had no clue about. I mean, this made sense to me when I was a Catholic after, like what I was mentioning earlier. This is one of the reasons that got me out of the church. I got sick and tired. I'm not kidding. I got sick and tired of walking down the street, people that knew me as a Catholic. And I was like a Catholic evangelist. I used to push the church. And people would come up to me and say, you know, you're going to go to hell because you baptize your babies or whatever, because I'm a Catholic. And they always had a Bible in their hands. And that used to, the Bible thumpers, I used to call them, you know, or Catholic dashers, whatever. And so I said, okay, this is it. I'm going to open up a Bible, and I'm going to use this Bible. And I had a Dewey Rames, Roman Catholic Bible at the time. And I'm going to use this Bible, and I'm going to prove you wrong. Within 18 months, I found out that they were not kidding. They were telling me the truth. And I was using a Dewey Rames, a corrupted Bible, over 2,000 verses either removed or rewritten, like the NIV, you know. And so what I did one day is I walked up to my pastor of the church, or my Monsignor, as they call him. And this is in my, on the website, I got a page, it's called Free Books. The first book I actually wrote for my dad, it's called The Second Window. There's a reason for the title, too, that I may get into later, but, oh, okay. I approached this. I got a page on the site called The Second Window. It's one of the three books. In the first section, talks about more or less what got me to leave the Catholic Church, and it's a series of questions that I asked. And I says, well, how come the Church teaches us to do this, but yet the Bible says to do that? And I was planning on bringing this into my pastor, or my Monsignor, if you will. And so I brought it into him. And after about the second or third question, I had about 20 of them, I think it is. I don't know. It's on the site. There's quite a few questions with Bible verses to prove that the Church was teaching error. And about the second or third question, he stopped me. And he goes, you need to stop reading the Bible, Nick. It's confusing you. That's the day I made a decision to get out of that church. We got Rick on the phone line from British Columbia, Canada. How you doing there, brother?
Real good, brother. Man, I tell you, we're sure blessed to hear the message you're giving out there, Nick. And we hope you keep it up. We know you've been blessed by God. I'd also like to say that it's nice to hear your comment in the beginning there about how it's not all Catholics that are, you know, causing the problems and so forth. You know, Jesus said that he's got his sheep in many flocks, and when they hear his name, they'll follow him. And I think with your help and a whole lot of prayer, more and more will follow. Thanks again, brother. That's all I want to say. People up here in Canada are listening.
Oh, thanks. Thanks again, Rick. Thank you so much. And praise the Lord, because it's... I didn't like the Bible, and I certainly didn't like the history books.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, take care. God bless, Nick.
All right, you too. Thank you. Thank you for calling. God bless. Thank you, brother. It's amazing. It's not just like Rick was saying. It's not just, look in prophecy again. It states here that the Whore of Babylon, which is the mother of harlots, will have many daughters come from her. You know, when Martin Luther left the Roman Catholic Church, he brought a lot of the inventions of Rome with him. I mean, the Lord only gave a certain amount of light at that time. If he gave all the light, there would have been massive problems and massive deaths, of course. So he gave just enough to get the kids, you know, the children in the right direction. And when Martin Luther left, of course, what always happens after a leader of a movement dies? Right after, he dies, the message gets all corrupted and destroyed or whatever. You know, it gets all messed up, and you can't... Well, and that's where you get all these different denominations. The Bible said plainly, she's the mother of harlots, many daughters will come from her. And now, 3,000, I think it's a last count, about 3,000 different denominations have been spawned from Roman Catholicism. And on June 26th, year 2000, the first... Well, actually, 1999, October 31st, the first one was... Most of the synods of the Lutheran Church rejoined with Rome on the same day that Martin Luther put his 95 Theses on the door. Just as prophecy declared, there'd be a one-world church. We discussed that last week as part of the New World Order. But anyway, we got Sean on the line from Florida. Welcome, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Could you try to speak up? We're having a little bit of trouble here with the phone lines. Could you just grab hold of that there phone and speak up?
I just let you know that we love listening to you.
Thank you.
And we love that you spread the truth. And I'd just like to read a verse out of the Bible.
Please do, yeah.
Revelation 22:19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Amen. And you see a lot of that happening in today, not just in Catholicism either. You see it all over the world. I mean, just what it's no different than what the Pharisees did in their day.
Yes.
When they, with the first coming of Messiah, they mixed a couple of different prophecies together, and then, of course, they added their own things. But I believe the main thing you're leading to is the adding to, when you look at the Catechism of Roman Catholicism, where 86.2% of the doctrines are not found in the Bible.
That's true.
And then, of course, some of the parts that they have taken out, literally.
Sure.
Literally, you know, just pull things out of their Bibles. I mean, look at the NIV, for example. I think it's around 2,000 verses that have either been totally omitted or rewritten. If you get some of the older NIVs, you go to Acts chapter 8, verse 36, verse 37. If you can get that verse 37, I'll be, very surprised, because it's not in your Bible. That's the one where it states that... where Philip and the eunuch are talking, and then The eunuch asked him, what's stopping me from getting baptized? And Philip, of course, says in verse 37, if you profess Christ as Lord and repent of your sins, then yes, you can get baptized. But they removed that verse. Why? Well, the Vatican baptizes babies. A baby cannot profess Christ as Lord, nor can a baby repent. So therefore, rather than change the doctrine, change the Bible. Why? Yeah. Well, Satan cometh immediately to take away the word. And that's what he's doing. He's trying to confuse the people. You know, he's the author of confusion, of course.
You keep keep spreading that truth, Brother Dick.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. Man, I can barely hear you. I'm hoping we'll get this fixed by next week.
I'm glad to call in and see how you're doing. I just wanted to let you know for spreading the truth. Yeah, we love listening to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good night.
You too. Thank you. God bless you, brother.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, getting back. I have a, hold on here, let me get some notes here. I have a couple of more quotes here that I'd like to share in between phone calls, if we get any more, I'm not sure. We got here the same, that book I spoke from earlier, The Question Box, on page 66. Well, this one's on page 67. It says, the very nature of the Bible ought to prove to any thinking man the impossibility of its being one safe method to find out what the Savior taught. That's Catholic theology. Yet my Bible says it does state it has a safe method of, or certainty of his teachings. Look at Luke chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which therein thou hast instructed. So, it's amazing. It's kind of like even with the father theology thing, like where the Bible says, call no man on earth your father, and yet everybody has to call the priest's father. Or take, for example, the ultimate blasphemous statement, people. Everybody, the media, everybody calls the Pope Holy Father, right? Go to John chapter 17, the real prayer of Jesus, not the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name thing. That's an outline of prayer, of course. But if you take that outline and you put it next to John chapter 17, you will see in John chapter 17 it's all there, all that Christ said we should do during prayer. But look at what Jesus calls his Father in heaven in that prayer. He calls him Holy Father, doesn't he? And now everybody on earth is calling the Pope Holy Father. Why? I will exalt my thrones above the Most High. We got Rick on the phone from Florida. Another Rick. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Nicholas. I just want to say thanks a lot for getting the word out. I truly believe that God is working through you, and you are spreading the truth. And we.
I can't hear you, Rick. Could you?
I know, but everybody else can hear me. And I just wanted to, I'm really excited for you and what's going on with your ministry, and just keep up the good work. And I wanted to read one line out of the Bible, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And I think it's happening to you and to everybody else. And just keep up the good work, and just God bless everybody. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Rick. God bless you, too. Thank you for that verse. And yes, we definitely have to go into the Word, folks, if we're going to get any kind of understanding of what we, you know. I mean, think about it. Your Creator, your God in heaven, has written you a book. But yet, Rome will tell you, you can't understand it without our translations. Why? Well, it's the ultimate power thing that we were talking about last week. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. They want not only governmental control, because it's church and state, they also want spiritual control. This is one of the reasons it came to be in 538 A.D. when Vigilius was sent to the papal chair under the military protection of Belisarius. Daniel saw it many years prior as seeing a nation, like the fourth nation that comes, will be totally diverse from any other nation. And as we discussed last week, how was it diverse? Well, it was a woman sitting on a beast. Okay. A woman sitting on a beast. Now, a woman, of course, now I'm not going to give you my interpretation. I'm not going to give you my own opinion, because that is not right to do. That's what the scripture says. Do not do that. That's how the Bereans were able to tell if the preacher standing before them was a preacher of God or a preacher of self or mammon, like you see on the TV. They all doing it for the money. A woman in Jeremiah 6:2 means a church. A beast in Daniel chapter 7, 17, or 23 equals a nation. That's how it's totally diverse. You put those two things together, you got absolute power. We got Randy on the phone lines from Kentucky. Hey, you're from last week, aren't you? Well, I think Rick was from last week, too. How you doing, Randy?
Hello, Nick. Can you hear me?
Just barely. If you could just, like, swallow the microphone for a while, that'd be great.
I promised to use my headset this week.
Better than last week. I mean, last week I was, like, really having a rough go.
Oh, it was awful.
It's just a technical problem we're having. We'll figure it out. No big deal.
But I wanted to tell you, you're doing a fine job, and I think you have a lot of people 100% behind you.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, keep it in prayer, because I know this is going to cause some frowns. I know I've been doing this, it'll be in March 19 years, and I remember when I did it in Oregon. Yeah, I was up there for a year, and I found out later, because I didn't have shortwave or anything like that, or any way of picking up the broadcast, because I was in Illinois at the time, I found out later that most of the broadcasts that I sent up to Oregon never made it to the air. And then they eventually did kick me off the air because they feared repercussions, I guess, from the Vatican or something.
Oh, yeah. The truth is very hard to swallow for if you've had the same ideas for years. But I wanted to, just a little opinion here, a little summation of the papacy and what they're getting away with and all that. I always like to repeat is that they put the Bible equal to above Scripture.
Oh, yeah.
And deceive the masses under the guise of good works. They've done that so many times over the years, you know.
There's a reason they did that.
But I'll go ahead and get off here and say goodbye, and God bless you.
God bless you too, Randy. Thanks for calling. You take care, brother. I also want to thank FirstAmendmentRadio.com, too, for the opportunity. And I implore you people out there, if you have, a blessing this month to, help keep FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the air, because...